My next guest is on the line. She is Tali Naight. She is Executive Director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center. I'm talking to Tali because earlier this week, it was publicized pretty much all over the world that Yad Vashem, that is the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem in Israel, has reached a very important milestone. They have documented the 5 millionth name out of the 6 million Jewish Holocaust victims. And we're going to unpack that with Tali right now. Tali, always great chatting to you. Thanks for being with me on Chai FM.
Absolutely, Simon, and with you too, and the listeners. Indeed, a milestone, and thank you for raising this very important point with our listeners.
So I want you to go in that form, into that in detail for me, Tali. Why has this made news worldwide, and what is the relevance of this milestone?
So just a little bit of background. You know, the Yad Vashem that was established in the 50s started quite soon to collect the names of victims. I know that myself and my family gave our own victims, my aunts, my grandmother, other cousins, and you can until today feel a page of testimony, and you can send it to Yad Vashem, and in that way they collect names and details and photographs if you have those. And this was going on for many, many years, and indeed in Auschwitz One in block 27, you actually have a physical book. You can go into Auschwitz One, the memorial site, the concentration camp, go into block 27 designed by Yad Vashem and actually touch this huge book of names with 4 million names. And that was a milestone. We reached 4 million names. But you know what? AI allowed us to get to 5 million. And I'm sure that you read about it, Simon, how actually with AI and recognition of names, they could get to the 5 million through tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of documents that are in different archives.
Why in itself is reaching this milestone this important, and to you specifically, is this to combat Holocaust denial? What's the relevance?
So first of all, I think it is about recognition and memory. Each person has a name. Yeah. Each person was a whole world. I'm thinking about my grandmother, a young woman, Eleonora Turner, was murdered in Belzec. It was important for me because brave to put that page of testimony. For others, that the whole family maybe was murdered, No one could fill the page of testimony. It's so tragic. And now through this AI recognition of names through the documents, more full names could be recognized and added. So the first, I think, is memory. Every person has a name. The number is not just a number, not to say about 6 million were killed, but each one of the 6 million, and they are thinking that another 250,000 at least names can be recognized through the program. And that is, we will not get to the 6 million, but we will get as close as we can to the 6 million. Mm-hmm. So I think that is number one. But I think that what you're talking about with the rise of not only denial, but actually distortion. Mm-hmm. Distortion is very, very dangerous. So people will say, yes, it was very tragic. You know, that maybe 1 million died, 2 million died, but why do you exaggerate? Now we actually have not only names, but where did they come from? The village name, the town's name, the other family members, and many times where they actually died. So I think that is really important. But number three, and allow me just to say that because I think it's so important. You know, when you speak about the Holocaust, of course we remember the moment of death, if they were killed in Auschwitz or in Treblinka, yeah, or in the killing sites in Ukraine. But by looking at their names and where they came from, we can also remember their life. And I think concentrating on life and not only on the moment of death, is very important to us as Jewish people.
Tali, I was thinking about that. I was thinking actually that the Nazis sought to turn people into numbers, and this process is almost some kind of restorative justice by giving them their names back. These are no longer just statistics. These are people who lived lives, who laughed and cried, and you know, it's there's something quite beautiful about that. There's still a 1 million names, massively.
Yeah.
So. There's still a million names missing, and I believe that Yad Vashem has called this an unfinished obligation. Is this going to continue?
Yes.
Are they going to find use AI and find the missing million?
Yes. So I'm not sure that all the million or more or less will be fined, but they do think that they are capable to find few more hundred thousands of names.
Mm.
So we are going to hear another announcement, I am sure, in the coming years of the next, you know, recognized number of victims that are there. What is also very exciting is that the AI capabilities, recognizing faces, recognizing pictures, allow us as historians to know much more about photographs. And some of that is of victims. So to recognize the names of victims in photographs, maybe next to the Pertz about to be killed by the Einsatzgruppen. This is one photograph, very famous photograph that was not known. And through AI now, we know actually names, exact location, and actually exact names of perpetrators. So AI is allowing us to find out much more about history, which is really not was not a possible to do before that for 80 years.
Are you employing AI in your research in the center in Joburg, or is this a Yad Vashem thing?
So we did not yet do it, but who knows what is coming next. We certainly are researching different things using of research that are using AI. So I will not put that out of the question. It is coming, but Yad Vashem and then other institutions in Germany and in the United States are certainly starting to use AI for this discovery of more information on Holocaust.
Tali, probably a little bit of an unfair question to end with, but nevertheless fascinates me. Given the accusations of genocide against Israel, does it make it so much more difficult for you to get your message out? Is there still bandwidth in the context of South Africa to hear the stories that you have to tell?
So I think that the Holocaust, but of course, or Rwanda, but this is not the time to speak about that, of course, terrible genocide that happened 31 years ago. But our center that looks at the Holocaust in Rwanda, I think has a very, very important role. Actually, especially now, because I think knowledge about what is international crime, what are crimes against humanity, what is genocide, what is the word genocide that was only invented in 1944 by Raphael Lemkin, means what does the law makes us even more relevant than ever, because we are the center that can unpack for students, for learners, for teachers, for the public, those very, very important questions. And the Holocaust still is the most documented genocide of all times, that now even we have more documents and more proof to show its relevance to all of us.
But are they listening to you is the question. Are you still being heard by schools? Are you being invited to forum where you're able to deliver the message, or are you being sidelined because of current
no,
events?
No, not at all. For our listeners, I think it's important to know that the Holocaust is compulsory part of the South African curriculum, not only in Gauteng or Johannesburg, but all over South Africa. And every day we have a school coming to the center. Today we have the German school, for example, coming to study, but every day we have a school coming. And of course we do teachers training, because it's not only in grade 9, but it's also in grade 11 that students throughout South Africa have to study the Holocaust, the road to the Holocaust and the Holocaust, and then the post-Holocaust creation of the UN, and of course apartheid in South Africa after the Holocaust. So that is part of the curriculum, and thankfully we are definitely not sidelined.
Tali Nates, Executive Director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center, as always, thank you for your time this afternoon.